Well, welcome, listeners. Today, I am excited because I met this incredible woman, Dr. Lisa Stroman, who intrigued me when I read her bio that she's not only a clinical psychologist. So you're going to have to come visit me in San Antonio, help me with my kids, raising my children. You're also an attorney. I probably need that as my kids get older. And what intrigued me was you're recognized as this specialist on intersection psychology and technology, which I'm very a fan of technology, especially this social media. I understand that you have a private practice as well, counsels adolescents, teens, adults, families. Once we do this again, I'll bring you to San Antonio, help me with my kids. You're also the founder of Digital Citizens Academy, which I didn't get a lot of time to look at, but what I did find, it's a research-based preservation about, you know, professionally designed to inform, protect, and support young children, teenagers, and even adults like myself who maybe not know. And with cyberbullying going on, I'm just so proud of just to be an acquaintance of you to know all this. Also, you're an author of Raising Kids in a Technology Addicted World. Wow, could I have used that when my children were growing up? And also the digital distress growing up online. I know you're on TV, Fox News, CNN. I'm just excited to pick your brain today about something that I'm passionate about, but really don't know enough about. So thank you so much for taking this podcast with me. And thank you for being such a good sport to listen to my rantings on child safety. So Lisa, welcome. Absolutely. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I love helping and creating answers and solutions. So I'm here. Let's have the conversation and see where it takes us.
Outstanding. So as we talked about in your bio, like you've been fighting for child's digital safety for about two decades, long before it even became this mainstream conversation. And any news channel you look at today, that's all you're seeing. I saw you were recently appointed to RIGO. You know, when you think about that, I'm sure in your case, like me, we evaluate tons of technology companies all over the place. Why did you decide to put your name behind them and why not?
You know, I've had conversations with some of the folks that are involved with RIGO for probably about 5 or 6 years. And what stood out to me is that they were a company that kind of like myself, they recognized the need before anyone else has. And they literally created a template for an ability for a family and a child to be online safely, even though it wasn't mandated, even though it wasn't required. And they really built the architecture around that principle and that concept. And that's very like near and dear to my heart.
That's awesome. So like what I do, like, and we talked earlier, like, so I run ETS Labs, you know, AI company, right? In the world where I live in contact center operations, you know, scaling infrastructure, you really need to build that before the crisis arrives. And it's kind of like what I did, not as good as you guys did, but you know, that's really what I push my teams on. So like I have GDPR, I have ISO, I have all these certifications for my AI things. So RIGO has COPPA, right? And if you think about it, it's not a checkbox to them, which is what I'm intrigued by, right?
Right.
That makes their culture better. So specifically, I'm going to ask you a hard question. So when you think about this, when you evaluate it looking at this tech, what was the operational evidence that was that real conviction besides talking to, and by the way, I've met some of their leaders and read a lot about them, but like if you think about it, like when you're looking at it, what is fundamentally different for them?
You know, what I saw was not just kind of the core mission and the belief of leadership. I mean, they've put money where their mission was. And what I saw very quickly was that they have these two patents that are very unique in the space. So they own a patent on childhood protection and parent authenticate, like account connection, that really is a leader in the space. And then they also have this ability with their other patent, which, you know, from my perspective is that age assurance, blind validation. And those two patents in connection completely release and alleviate the liability and the demand on these platforms, right? So, one of the things that you didn't mention is I also have been in-house advisor and counsel to the law firm that's taking big tech to market and litigating them through the attorney general's offices.
I did see that. I don't know if I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, and so for me, I'm looking at it like they have a problem on their hands and they are basically playing whack-a-mole and saying like, oh, you're right. We should have done that. We're going to bolt on that protection or we're going to bolt this on. And so it's a very clumsy kind of approach versus what I saw that Rego did in the fintech space is they built it in and the architecture around it. And what I said was like, we can actually take this into the online world, social media place, gaming, all of these other things outside of just fintech. And we can make it broadly in a global approach that is COPPA compliant, GDPR, ISO, and their patents follow through on all of that. And they're really the first COPPA compliant, platform that's out there. So I was really excited because I know where it can actually be scaled. And that's what I'm going to help them do.
And that's just awesome. I saw it as well. So like for our audience members, this is probably myself included as we talk, you know, being a father. And I remember my daughter had TikTok and all these other things, which by the way, I still do not have. You know, what would you recommend? Like what do parents in schools, what do they should look for when they're even evaluating what they're allowing their kids to get online for? I mean, what would a question you'd ask a parent to think about?
One of the things I talk to parents is about what their knowledge base, like where I kind of try to figure out their assessment of what they really know. And I say this a lot. I think that if I walk into a house and I'm out in Arizona, so it's a little bit like the wild, wild west out here. But when my kids were little, I'd say, what is your gun policy? And what is your technology policy? And I'm more terrified at the household that doesn't have measures and protections in place around the internet than I am about a household that hasn't made a policy about guns. Because ultimately, a child understands a gun is danger, right? It's built into our society. We talk about it. But kids walk around and see adults with these in their hands, and they then have this extended belief that it's safe. And that there's nothing nefarious in it, and there's nothing more untrue. And so to me, the one thing I talk about as parents is like, what do you know about what this can take your kid to? You know, do you know about 764 and that entire ecosystem of evil and hate that kids are getting pulled into? Do you know about these organizations that are going out and taking images of your child that you put online that's maybe you at a family picnic and then they nudify them and they start to sell them on the open market with your child's face on it? Right? What do you know is happening to the content that you're putting on there? And I literally have spent my entire career, as you know, since Columbine in 1999, talking about and understanding that we don't really have the education in place that we need.
That's just, it's amazing what you know about this. And it's, man, it's really eye-opening for a dad. Obviously, I think dads are, do a lot what you just said, like posting pictures of me and my daughter. I never thought of it that way. So, you know, when I read this stuff out about this architecture and we already touched on it a little bit, but like when you look at Rego and again, I look at it from my own perspective, like when I built my stuff, I'm building this compliance in, you know, how significant do you think the distinction between a company who builds safety from the ground up versus ones you hear now, which we just talked about. Hey, I was wrong. I'm going to bolt on compliance later.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the number one issue that I see is it's structurally built wrong. And I think that what we see in the tech industry is it's a rinse and repeat, who can scale faster, who can put more money in. And we're using a template that is quote unquote acceptable by society. You know, I've spent my career trying to argue, can we not live inside that box? And can we look at the fact that these industries and these tech companies are creating our children and ourselves as the product, and they're built upon that? versus like looking at and changing that system. And again, I think that them bringing me on as kind of the global advisor to youth safety and even seniors, you know, we can do it better. RIGO has the technology and the ability to literally go in and from a global infrastructure, create protections around all of these from the ground up. And we really can make a huge difference so that these companies are no longer in a defensive posture trying to, you know, pay off lawsuits and figure out ways to bolt stuff on and say, listen, like, we got you. Like, we know how to do it from the beginning. Let's put in this infrastructure layer and let's create a new system for everyone. And then we're at a place where we're actually protective and we're actually paying attention to the words that we're saying, which is let's have a safe online experience for everyone that we don't have to consciously and unconsciously be scared all the time when we're online.
Yeah, you're so right. Like, I look at that back to my background, which is ETS Labs, the AI stuff. And I remember the beginning when I built this, I remember one of the first things I did was say, we need to have guardrails as part of my architecture, not a feature later on, had to be part of the initial build. That's awesome. So, you know, well, let me just ask one more other question on top of that one. What about these companies? Because by the way, I'm not exactly in your space, but I am in the tech space, right? So when you think about it, there's companies out there who do this thing I call compliance theater. It's wrong foundation, right? They're saying they're compliant. We know they're not. You know, how can you tell the difference anymore?
Well, that's the part that is so terrifying, is that because we have scaled the industry so quickly and we don't have the engineers and the AI specialists and the training in our legislative body or in our societal body that necessarily understands it. So for now, 2 decades, I've been sitting watching these leaders show up, Zuckerberg as one of them, as the target in my crosshairs at all times. You know, when he stands up in front of Congress and says, hey, we don't have any evidence. We don't have any research or evidence that shows that our products create harm in children. And what, again, this is my background scientifically. Sure. I look at it and I say, he's right that we don't have any evidence-based research because there's not a industry or a governing body that would ever say, you know what? We're going to put your kids' gym in this pile and we're going to just throw them on TikTok from birth on. We're going to see if that messes them up. And then we're going to take Lisa's kids and we're never going to let them have social media. Let's see what happens because that's what you need to do. You need to have a group that was completely off of it, randomly checked. Yep. And then one that we put from the beginning. And the reason why that research will never be done is because we already know it causes harm. It causes structural harm to the brain. It causes neurochemical structure damage to the brain. The scariest thing that I saw last year in March was that we actually know now that the youth of our generation have less oxytocin than they've ever seen in history. And oxytocin is the hormone that bonds us and makes us compassionate and thoughtful and caring about another individual. So not only do we have serotonin, we now have dopamine, and now we have oxytocin, are all being impacted by this online generation. And so the truth of the matter is the evidence, when he stands in front of Congress and says that, and he shows them that there's no evidence, he's a liar. There is evidence. It's just not quantitative evidence, it's qualitative evidence. And we have 20 years of it from India to Asia to the United States. So that part is so frustrating to me because leadership and the people that are making these decisions really need to have education. And that's really what I'm excited about RIGO for, is coming on board and trying to get in front of some of these legislative people and say, listen, I get it. You're trying to make bills and legislation that says, hey, we want parent age verification, but that language isn't enough. We need to be able to say with specificity how. And that's the part that we're trying to help them get to.
Yeah. And that's a good point too. And boy, you really opened up my eyes a lot. Speaking of which, I mean, let's just talk about it. I mean, I'm on the news all the time. Even in my industry, it's legislation like You know, I run contact centers, AI companies, and there's legislation, laws telling us that, you know, they want all their calls answered in the U.S. Your phone bill will go up by $5,000, but that's all right. But anyway, I'm my tangent. So Congress and state legislators, they're moving fast right now, right? Mm-hmm. Especially on this online safety legislation. You know, and what excited me about talking to you is like, you know, where do you see RIGO's patents, which we talked about earlier, in that regulatory landscape, if the lawmakers actually do anything? And what does it mean to companies or parents that are looking at this?
Well, what's so exciting about it is that it's, to me, in concert. RIGO has four different patents, two of which are very specific into the fintech area and banking specifically. But the two that I spoke of earlier, which is that ability to do blind validation of a user, is so unique. Meaning, and I'll build out kind of an analogy. If okay. I am a 9-year-old and I've never been online before, and I enter into, imagine like a road going, you know, both directions, and I enter into that stream of internet superhighway, and I go in and I say, I'm Lisa Stroman and I'm 9 years old. My age and my identity then in the world of kind of data banking is there forever. So when I turn 10, they know I'm 10. When I turn 11, they know I'm 11. When I'm 13, now all of the protections under COPPA and the GDPR drop off. In Australia, it's 16. So that age and biometric data that AI is starting, and that's what they're trying to start build, right? Yep. They're like, you know what? We're just going to do age. We're going to do facial recognition, and we're going to give biometrics out. And I can't imagine a more terrifying moment than to, particularly if you know what AI can do, and that we can take images and we can create age progressions and notifications and all those things. If I'm a parent, what I want for that 9-year-old is I want them to enter into the stream of commerce, and I want an entity like, let's say it's an ed tech firm, and sure, it's for education, and I want them to come over and they want to say, am I allowed to talk to her or not? RIGO has a patent that says you have to go through the parent and get consent first, and that would be verified whether or not the parent is interested in you doing ed company, yep, A. And then once the parent says yes, a token is returned to that ed tech company. It says, yes, she's old enough, but I'm not telling you she's 9, right? What they own that patent to is blind validation. And so what that will do is anonymize anyone that enters that stream of commerce, and it changes the entire scope of where we get that ability to hold our personal inventory, our personal information to ourselves, and we get to have control over it. So that's the part that I'm super excited about, is because now, instead of being able to sell, and I guess for your listeners, you know, if you have a company and you're going in and you're like, you know, I have 1.2 trillion or 1.2, let's say, million kids that are 9 years old, and here's all the things that they use, and these are all the things they're paying attention to. Maybe I'm not giving your personal information out, but I'm banking that data and I'm selling it for marketing purposes. And then I can go back into the system and I can say, well, I know that one was 9. So now I can sell them 10-year-old. And so that data system, that value, and that's a $1 trillion industry, right?
Oh, gotcha.
So if we're not taking away that money from them, but we're making them more accountable, and we're making them more ethical, and we're forcing it by anonymizing the users that go into the system, now we've got now we've got the user and the parent in control of a child, or the user and an adult in control of their content.
I think we all need an adult in the room sometimes. That's exciting. So
yeah.
So like, I got to tell you.
And just to add on to that, the other part I'm excited about is that parental connection patent works both ways. So you can use that parental connection patent and the structure around that, not only to protect minors online, but now if you have a parent that's in their 70s or 80s and they're getting scammed, and the elder abuse numbers are going off the rack in terms of like the financial losses and the suicides that are occurring based on the embarrassment that these seniors are having. I mean, the stories are devastating, that patent also can protect moving forward because it's still a parental connection. So I'm super excited that it's going to cover from minors to seniors.
And I was gonna hit you up with that too, because like,
oh, sorry.
No, you're good. It's right into my last follow up part. So like, when you think about this technology, like, again, I have kids, right? My parents are both deceased, so I don't have the older thing, but I hear a lot of these scammers and I see it online all the time, these people getting scammed. And what I was intrigued about when I built my tech at ETech and ETS Labs, I built white label, right? Cause a lot of companies buy my stuff while it's beautiful and it's great and it's all this AI stuff. A lot of people like to use their own brand. So when I created it, I said, make it the white label. So a lot of my customers log in, see their own logo, they don't even know it's me under the hood. And I noticed that Rego's was white labeled too, which I think is a genius from the marketing perspective. But like, I have financial institutions who tell me fraud is for elderly people is just off the tracks. What do you see the future of that being?
Well, I think that it's the fact that we have the ability to kind of visually create AI models, and now we have like obviously audio cloning AI models. You know, a lot of the times, even like someone like you, like imagine your child goes off to college for the first time. I had a situation last year where a parent got called. The child said to him, you know, I messed up. I went to a frat party. I got drunk. I got arrested. I need you to wire money, blah, 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 blah. And the parent like That's completely believed it because it was the clone of the child. Yeah. With the elderly, I think what I'm seeing is more and more sophisticated cases that are coming on board. It's not just a phone call that says, you know, hey, we noticed that your card got compromised. I need you to verify all your banking information and give me all the information. I've had cases now where not only do they call and they don't ask you for any banking information, they transfer you to another entity, and then they go onto a visual platform whereby there's an entire stage set up where you see people in uniform acting as if they're police officers and talking to people where a sergeant will come in, and we're talking very, very smart, wise elderly individuals that are simply just not used to the sophistication that occurs. So again, that ability to create a protection in place, like you said, whether it's white labeled for an entity or corporation, or if it's in the actual devices themselves, where there has to be that infrastructure layer that has like a clearinghouse that these bad actors can't get through. Now we don't have to worry about that anymore, and we can completely eliminate that piece of our society that is going after and targeting the vulnerable.
Oh, absolutely. That's just all been, today's been awesome. I'm going to have one final, let you close us out, but I look at all these AI companions that are out there, right? Like there's, as we all talked about, social media is a freaking disaster. Excuse my mouth. But we're seeing this wave of AI driven apps that target children. Teenager, everything from tutoring, I could help you learn more, social AI. Where do you see the regulatory and ethical framework that should govern how some of those minors or even Rego position to play a role? And I think just to recap, like I see Rego is playing a parallel role in setting the standard, no?
I mean, Rego is the vanguard. It's ahead of all the standards. And I think that's the part that made me so interested coming on board is they're creating solutions for issues that are 2 years, 3 years down the road as well. And the infrastructure layer that we need for that AI, you know, we can go out and I've been doing it through my DCA program for years of going out and educating kids. You know, here's what happens when you go online. Snapchat's telling you those messages disappear. Guess what? When I work with ICAC or Internet Crimes Against Children, Snapchat's the first one that says, what do you want to see? We have it all. And kids, you know, that's not fair. It's like sitting down and playing the game of Monopoly and not telling you that you get $200. I'm going to take two $1,000 and we're going to have, you know, it's just unequal. We're not giving everybody the information. So, you know, for me, I look at the AI companions and what they're doing as incredibly damaging. They are completely unregulated. They are in a silo to continually feed whatever psychology or mentality gets fed into them. And you can look at it from a business perspective where it's convincing you that you should create a business and it's such a great idea and you should absolutely try to sell used sandwich meat as a product that you put on a stick and you should put $100,000 into that product line because now you're no longer filling, you know, landfills with used food and you're repurposing it for people and selling it for a profit, which is ridiculous. But that's what AI will come up with.
Yeah.
If you go down that road, equally as much as putting an AI companion in the hands of the child and a child who has hormonal fluctuations, has undeveloped frontal lobes, that doesn't have the sophistication to know that they're being fed into a resource that's only parroting back and taking them into a world that only keeps them happy in that moment. And that's where we're getting suicide, self-harm, disloyal situations where you've got, you know, a breakdown of the family structure. So it's very, very dangerous. And I think that we've got the ability to jump ahead of that and create better parameters under the patents and the ability that Rego has in their wheelhouse.
God, it's been such a pleasure to meet you. I'm going to fly to Arizona with my children, take you out for dinner. I'll pay for dinner. You could come to my 18-year-old who thinks she knows it all.
well, I've got a 17 and 18-year-old too.
Perfect.
Par for the course.
So it's a pleasure. And I know it's unlike, people who know me know I'm always ahead of the game and I'm always thinking two steps forward. I play chess, not checkers. And meeting you personally has been awesome. This has just been an awesome education session for me. I'm so excited about your future and I'm excited to continue to working with you to hear how we protect our children. Thank you so much, Lisa. I'll give you the last word. If somebody wants to connect with you, get a copy of your book. We'll drop it into the comments below. For that, just, if anybody wants to reach out to you, we'll get put all those assets in the bottom. But thank you again for spending time with me in your busy day.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Anyone that's there for child safety and a better online world, I will always show up. So thanks for having me.
Thank you.